I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, this is Father Tom Burke of the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh, and welcome to Catholic Education Plus on KDK Radio. This show spotlights the important work of Catholic education in our Catholic schools and parish faith formation programs. Catholic Education Plus is brought to you by the generous supporters of Catholic education, including Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh in southwestern Pennsylvania.
And this morning we open the classroom doors into our elementary schools as the 2019-2020 academic year is underway here in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. And as regular listeners to this program, we believe that Catholic schools are one of the best ways that the Church brings young people into a relationship with Jesus while also preparing them for life. Spiritual formation encourages virtue. Academic excellence leads to success in higher education. And gospel values promote respect, compassion, and service. However, we know that Catholic schools are facing new challenges that require a different approach on how we educate our children. And one way is beginning to work. And I'm honored this morning. My guests are Anna Torrance. She is the Diocesan Secretary for Education and Evangelization, and Michelle Peduto, who is now the Director of Catholic Schools. Anna, Michelle, welcome this morning to Catholic Education Plus. Oh,
good morning, Father.
Good morning, Father.
And it's great to have both of you here this morning. I know both of you as your former pastor at St. James and Swickley. Mm-hmm. And Michelle, you and I go way back in my younger days as the parochial vicar at St. Paul Cathedral when you were the principal at the former St. Agnes School.
Those were my younger days,
too. Your younger days, too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's great to have you both with me here in studio.
It's a pleasure.
And our schools are up and running. We're
a
brand new year, and we're off to a wonderful start. Now, Anna, big changes have been taking place in the Catholic schools. Can you give us some history on how parish schools began 100-plus years ago? And, of course, what has changed since then?
So much has changed in our city and the diocese over the last 100 years. Certainly, 100 years ago, we had a great influx of immigrants, mostly from Western Europe, many Catholic immigrants. Mm-hmm. And so there was a great need at the time to really provide for education of those the children of those immigrant families. And so much is attributed to our women religious who really so beautifully led those schools, taught in those schools, and really, helped to have in those schools a beautiful faith life for the children. Now, over, the decades, we've had changes in our population, and we know, in today's world, we have smaller families. In Western Pennsylvania, we have, less population. I think that's reflected. Certainly, there's lots of demographic statistics there, but there's been some recent reporting even for our regional universities, how they've been affected by, changes in population and so forth. Honestly, there are less people in the pews, and that when you aren't receiving the sacraments, that's going to impact, the kids in our schools. So we look at all of that, but we know that Catholic education is just so vital to our community, and it's served us so well. So how do we make sure that given some of these challenges that we can really look to what we best can do to sustain our Catholic schools for generations to come? Okay, so our children's children, can can enjoy the beauty of Catholic education. And so, you know, just more recently, in the last few years, we've been kind of looking at new models, especially with respect to our elementary schools, of how to offer, make sure that we have Catholic education available both geographically, but also from an affordability perspective, to our children across the diocese. And that's where we moved into a regionalization model.
Yeah, so there's multiple factors. As we all know, Western Pennsylvania and the city of Pittsburgh has changed. Mm-hmm. You had the baby boomers and the building booms back the 50s and 60s.
That too, yes.
Parish schools and neighborhoods were thriving, and there were large numbers of people. And then, obviously, things have changed after the steel mills changed. Western Pennsylvania has changed, and it's pretty much across the board, not only in Catholic education or our churches, but pretty much, as you mentioned, colleges and universities, every school district, everybody has changed, and there's a shift in the population. So it can't be just business as usual, like we've done it always in the past. There has to be a new perspective and a new model. So and a new way of operating and supporting Catholic schools is called regionalization. And when I was the pastor a few years ago at St. James in Swickley, we went into the North Hills regional school system. And then now I'm at St. Bede and St. Charles Lawanga and St. James in Wilkinsburg. The East regional school is now up and running as of July. And then we will be moving next year into the South, and then
That's
eventually
correct.
Out into the West and the airport corridor. Now, supporting Catholic elementary schools called regionalization, it's focused on improving the financial sustainability and academic quality and Catholic identity. How does the governance and the financial support in the regionalization model?
Okay. So, as many know, that in the North, that was our first mm-hmm. venture into regionalization. And I also want to kind of preface this by saying that when we were kind of moving into this, like considering regionalization or new models of providing elementary education, we did look at what was happening across the nation, especially in the Northeast and Midwest, where, you know, they were facing some of the same mm-hmm. challenges. And so there have been other dioceses that are maybe a few years ahead of us in this effort. And so the North was our starting point, and that was, so there were schools that we did merge initially, so that's how we started. But what the governance model is it's a board of directors that's comprised of half clergy and half lay people. And we have wonderful clergy that participate on the board, all very committed to Catholic education. Most have had a lot of experience mm-hmm. with their own Catholic schools as pastor. But also from the lay side, individuals from the community who are very dedicated to Catholic education, but also bring skill sets such as, you know, education, background in education, expertise in finance, in strategic planning, in development and advancement, which is going to be very important going mm-hmm. forward, thinking strategically about how we're going to support our schools, and then also communications, public relations, marketing, and so forth. So in the North, you know, we've really, and I also want to say that the board is, it's representative of each of the, there's a representative from each of the parish groupings within the North region. So even though we're not all of the groupings have come together formally as new parishes, I think it was intentional that we made sure that every parish has a say and a seat at the table. And, you know, this is truly, Catholic schools are a ministry of our entire diocese mm-hmm. and not just the parish that has the school, you know, on its campus. And so the more that we can kind of bring that message to the broader region and the broader diocese is going to be the better for all.
I like that equal representation. Just
yeah.
like in government, mm-hmm. everyone wants an equal voice in city, county, mm-hmm. State, and national.
Yeah.
We have representatives that represent us down in Washington and Harrisburg, and even here in the Diocese of Pittsburgh, it's good to have that equal representation.
Yes.
In the groupings. Yeah. That there's somebody that's, hey, they're representing the people in that particular grouping in that region. So, mm-hmm. Now, Michelle, now that you're the new head honcho, so to speak, of the Catholic school system as director of Catholic schools, you've been visiting many of our schools in the recent weeks. What's your main message about Catholic education, and how has it been received since you've been on board?
I have visited a number of schools, and I'm so happy with what I see every time I enter those doors and see the students and the teachers working so hard to provide such a positive experience for our children. I've spoken mostly with principals and teachers and parents to date, and my message is one of honesty. We are facing challenges in our church, in our school system, and also in our country right now. And so now more than ever, we need to remember who we are, that we are the body of Christ. And whatever we do moving forward, we need to remember that, and we need to be Christ to each other. We need to remember that our faith is not one of boundaries and division, where we have parishes and here's a parish and there's a parish. We are a people of Christ. And in that spirit, we need to do the things that we need to do moving forward to keep Catholic education vibrant and sustainable. And we also need to love each other in the process. And so that's the message of teamwork, of collaboration. It's been very well received, and I'm very confident that we'll be able to live that out.
What a great message coming in, because usually somebody that comes in, I'm just going to come in and take over the world, or come in and just rearrange the furniture. And I learned that as a pastor. And they always taught us in the seminary, you go in, whenever you go into a new assignment, you'll stop, you look, you listen, you evaluate, you develop relationships, you develop that trust. You don't just go in and just, you know, change everything, because people are obviously trying to get to know you, and it takes time. It takes time to build that relationship. And since there's so much change that has gone on just in the last year with the on mission process, with parishes, with schools, changing 80% of the clergy, and then just change also, as you mentioned, in our nation. It's a lot. It's a lot to digest. So I love your approach to just stop, look, listen, get a feel of what's going on, and give that message of hope. So that's great. We'll take a break. We'll be back in a moment here on KDK Radio. Welcome back to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, the administrator of the Catholic community of the East End of Pittsburgh, which is the parishes of St. Bede and Point Breeze, St. Charles Lwanga in the East End, and St. James in Wilkinsburg. And this morning we are focusing on back to school and the regionalization system in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. And I'm honored to have Anna Torrance, who is the Diocesan Secretary for Education and Evangelization, and Michelle Peduto, who is the Director of Catholic Schools. And Michelle, you've worked at the Extra Mile Foundation, which I'm familiar with the school that I oversee, Sister Thea Bowman Catholic Academy in Wilkinsburg. You led the campus school of Carlow University, and you've been a principal and a teacher. What an awesome background that you have. How has your background prepared you for this new role as the director of Catholic schools?
Well, I think I started as a teacher. I've held a number of positions, as you said, throughout the Catholic education systems, not just in Pittsburgh, but throughout the country. Mm-hmm. And I've learned so much along the way. I think that's the piece. I've learned to listen. I've learned to collaborate. I've learned about my own weaknesses and my own strengths. And I think I bring that in a way to this role so that I can work with the principals at our schools, the regional administrators, and sometimes parents and sometimes teachers as well, because I'm coming from where they are, and I understand how important it is to be in the schools, to be present for the people you're serving. And that's my full intent, to be present for the people I'm serving.
I think that's so important, because you've been there. You've been there on the other side of the desk, so to speak, as a teacher. You were in the classroom. You were an administrator, as a principal, leading the Extra Mile Foundation. So you can say, I've been there. I honestly know how you feel. and even as a mom and a parent too of your kids too. So you wear many hats, and then you can bring your personal life also now into your professional life. There's now a new region, Michelle, in the city, supported by the Extra Mile Foundation in the Pittsburgh East region. Some schools had to close, and how will this help now in the long term to bring them closer?
Our first priority is our students and having healthy learning environments for the students. And we want to have right-sized classes. Classes where there's good, solid socio-emotional growth going on, good, solid academics, which we always have, and of course, the faith formation piece, which to me is the most important of all. So I think that's what we're going to bring to our new settings. And it is so sad. It's very sad when we lose a school. It's heartbreaking, and it's heartbreaking for the people, the parents, the students. But over the course of time, the benefits will be evident. And I hope that one day we're just in a really good place with all of this and we understand.
Yeah, it's always hard to close a school, close a parish. If the numbers are not there and they're struggling financially and the operating costs, but then coming together, building that stronger, and then becomes more vibrant and a more quality Catholic education. Now, Anna, one positive from the school regionalization is the greater involvement of lay people. And you touched on that in the first segment, in leaders helping our priests and our deacons. And I honestly am very grateful for the lay leaders that help me as a pastor. Can you talk a little bit about that involvement, how that's a positive in the regionalization system?
Sure, Father. So I spoke a little bit about our North Board, and we did just recently, in July 1st, we have a formal governing board in the Pittsburgh East region, and that group really had been working together for the last year and a half anyway, providing more advisory perspective. But in the context of the governing board, as I said, these wonderful lay leaders that are really kind of looking at how do we better promote our schools. So we have individuals who have the, you know, expertise in the public relations and marketing who are really kind of like, let's think outside of the box here. And so I think it's as I think the more involvement with laity, it's critical here, but these opportunities to really kind of be thinking about new ways to really support our schools. So financially too, people with very strong financial backgrounds to be thinking about not just this year's budget, but let's be looking at, you know, 3-5 years so that we're not living year to year. And instead of, you know, the dream, the hope, the prayer is we're not managing decline. We're building and sustaining and growing. So so I think at the board level. Now, in each of these regions, we will also have, and we have in the north, and we're developing in the east, there's a regional advisory board. And so that board is comprised of the principals, the leaders of each of the schools, and a leader from the school, like a lay person from the school. And they are advisory to the board. And in the north, this has worked very beautifully because the board, the governing board, attends these region, you know, the regional advisory board meetings. We have leadership in the regional administrator who's working very closely with all of the principals. And then at the another level is the school advisory councils. And while we've had that in many of our schools, there may have been some unevenness, and some schools didn't have that. And so it's the regional administrator who helps to kind of, you know, make sure that that's all coordinated. But how critical it is to make sure that we have leadership at the local school level, that so that we're working really kind of in a very unified mission, but it's not top down. It has to be. We're all in this. I think to Michelle's earlier point, we are all the body of Christ, and this is all of this. This is one of our most important missions as Catholics, is our schools, and so how together can we make this work? And so it's not only, as we talked about, engaging all parish groupings, regardless of whether you have a school on your campus, but also engaging a much broader community in this effort.
Yeah, and we all have a vested interest in that, and I like how you have the school advisory people, the parents helping the principal, and then the principal then working with the regional director, and then the regional director working with the governing board. And it's like everybody has a vested interest in that. And it's not just their school, it's our school. And you take ownership, even though it might not be physically on the parish property, but it's that community. Now, Anna, school regionalization is coming next to the southern area of our diocese, and then also out to the northwest, and then in Butler and Lawrence County. What are the next steps in developing the regionalization for the entire diocese of Pittsburgh?
So, like in the east, we have we are assembling right now an advisory board for the south. So there'll be representatives, both clergy and lay people, from every parish grouping in the south. And now that's a bigger region, and there are more schools there. And so we're meeting, we've already met with, there have been a couple informal meetings with the pastors, but now September we're going to start meeting in earnest and really kind of look at, you know, how do we make sure, again, that we're making Catholic education accessible across that region? So I'm excited about, like, you know, kind of getting into this new area. And then the plan would be in the south then, this regional advisory board, they may make some recommendations about, you know, the region in this next year. But the board will become a formal governing board July 1st of 2020. And then the same process will begin this year with the Northwest region. So we have some schools there, and, you know, we would be putting together likewise a similar board. So it's a big undertaking,
Absolutely,
but it just seems like I think we've had some really nice successes with our first two efforts. And I'm excited about the enthusiasm, especially in the laity, about really coming together to help
support
our
schools.
In
the north, you build on that, tweak it, and then the east. And then now you're already looking for the south, and then.
And I just want to remind people, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, and so everything takes a little bit of time. So patience, but the support. I, you know, really welcome anybody who's listening, if they have a love of the church and our schools, to help.
Great, and the two of you are doing a fantastic job.
Oh, thank you, Father.
Thank you,
Anna
Father.
And Michelle Peduta. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
We'll be back in a moment. This week in our Plus segment, we're featuring the St. Joseph's Guild Discernment Group. This is for men ages 18 to 40. In fact, we're having one this Sunday, September 29th at 9:30 at St. Paul Seminary. And the next one will be October 20th, and then the following one will be on my birthday, actually November 24th. There's Mass, there's brunch, discussion, Eucharistic adoration. This is all sponsored by PittsburghPriest.com, and it starts at 9:30, St. Paul Seminary. That's located on Noblestown Road out in the Greentree Crafton area. It's for men ages 18 to 40. It's a nice discernment group, a nice day of Mass, brunch, get together, talk, and pray, and just kind of find out where God is leading you in the future. So discernment group, men ages 18 to 40 are invited. There is one today at 9:30, and then the next one will be on October the 20th, and then the following one, November the 24th. To register, please look at pghpriest.com. That's pittsburghpriest.com to register and to get more information. We'll see you there for the discernment group. Thank you for listening to Catholic Education Plus, and thanks again to our supporters, including Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. I'm Father Tom Burke. Join us again in 2 weeks at 6:30 right here on KDK Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.